GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. First, we watch the legislature, no one else's, fumble through a special session in which only the transportation bond made it through. And then we talked with Will Toole about how the frustration the broadband bond didn't make it through. And he said it's not a matter of no, it's a matter of not right now. AARP Maine had some strong opinions expressed by Jay Fidelz in our studio last Thursday, and that caught the ear of State Representative Joel Stetkus, the Republican of Canaan. George, he's on line three right now to talk with us on GHRT.
Hey, bud. How you doing?
Morning there, George. Hey, I got a bone to pick with you, mister.
Oh, God. I must have picked the wrong team.
Listening to you on the radio there last week, got my hackles up a little.
What'd I do?
Oh, you know, talking about this this broadband issue with Mr. Fidelz and, the comments, some of the comments there, it was especially troubling from a guy whose organization, AARP, takes money from seniors to advocate for them. And, you know, unfortunately, in my short experience in the legislature and in full view on your show, they seem to have become just another progressive nonprofit wing of the Democrat Party, working to grow government bigger and more expensive, and you know, not being completely honest on some of these issues. Not trying to tell them their business, but maybe Mr. Fidelz and AARP their time would be better served and their resources serving Maine seniors and their families if they worked on pressuring government Governor Mills to work on the nursing home reimbursement crisis that is the direct result of the government mandated wages.
Well, we're getting down we're going down a whole bunch of roads here, but hang on,
I was
a second.
I'm pretty frustrated.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, Japhet Ells, Mr. Ells was on our program Thursday. Yeah, and he argued that, you know, this broadband would have reached or would have helped expand broadband accessibility in rural communities. Now, he did mention Dover Foxcroft, and we did get lots of text messages from people in Dover Foxcroft saying, I live in Dover Foxcroft, Mr. Ells, and my broadband's just fine. My Wi-Fi access is terrific. But he argued that not passing this now was a real kick in the pants to those who live out in rural most Maine.
So one thing he failed to mention was Governor Mills and the Democratic Socialists that are running the legislature right now, they just passed this year a new tax or a fee surcharge, whatever they want to call it, that basically triples the amount of money that taxpayers are paying in Maine to help fund broadband. And that includes taxing AARP members who own a device that can call 911. In the budget where they spent, you know, every penny that we have plus dipping into the rainy day fund earlier and things like that, they've increased the funding. So, you know, it's unfortunate that wasn't brought up in the conversation. And like those people in Dover Foxcroft, if some people do some research, there's a national organization called Broadband Now. They're a pro broadband organization. And they rank Maine as number 17th most connected state in the United States. George, where do we generally rank in taxes and regulations and business friendly as states go? Anywhere near 17th?
No, we're usually higher than that.
You instead of being in the middle of the pack, we're usually the bottom of the barrel. The idea of keeping our kids in Maine because they don't have enough cell phone access is really, really not a factual statement.
Joe, let us clarify a couple of things with you. What is this? You said that the majority Democrats and Governor Mills have increased the amount of money that's coming out of where to fund telecommunications in our state. Can you be specific on that for us so we can track that?
Sure. So in the budget, okay, there's a new, and I can't remember what they call it. It's a tax for most of us as far as we're concerned. You know, when you look at your phone bill, your cell phone bill, your cable bill, all these little added fees. You know, you're supposed to be paying $29.99 a month, and it ends up being $40 a month. So they added a new fee to E911 communications providers. It's 0.25%. They're saying it's going to raise another $1.9 to $2 million a year, which we know that whenever the government taxes somebody like that, it gets passed on to the consumer. And then, of course, there was also the fee that's been in place that Connect Maine gets some of their money from that brings in about $1 million a year. This is in addition to that. So basically, the taxpayer funding of broadband in the state has tripled in this past budget.
Working, you guys worked through the morning hours, and you finished most of your work. And about the only thing we got through in that special session, the 1 day session, was we got to the highway funding bill, right? And everything else is kicked forward. Now, there was no agreement on how much the state should borrow to fix highways and bridges or build the broadband network. Now, broadband network is good for Maine, right?
Absolutely. It's good for Maine. There's no question. It is something that is needed, but is additional funding, you know, especially where they just tripled the funding at that level, is it as high of a priority as making sure our nursing homes stay open, making sure that our mentally disabled are cared for, making sure that our potholes are filled, those sorts of things? Is it as high of a priority as that? And where they've drained the piggy banks, at least the people in my area, they're not really in favor of borrowing money after you've spent all your paycheck.
What of the fact that this was, as Japhet points out, and Will didn't disagree, it was a deal. Weren't we getting 3-to-1 matching on this?
I believe that's a ongoing federal program that, it's obviously it's opened up to everybody. Whatever money a state can raise, there's matching funds available. A lot of those federal programs are like that. And of course, there's a lot of that. There's strings attached. I don't know what they all are, but it can be pretty restrictive.
Well, we all got bogged down, and I'm trying to just pull this out of my mind here. It's after a weekend here. But Republicans wanted separate votes on the four packages we went back in special session for. And they were concerned the state is taking on too much debt. Is that fair?
You know, in my mind, absolutely that is fair. And, you know, one of the things that I had an issue with, you know, with piling all these bonds together, during the regular session was, you know, it reminded me of what Washington, D.C. does. You know, they add all this pork spending to something important like, you know, veterans care or, you know, something like that. And to the best of my knowledge, the governor could have divided that stuff up right then and there in that session, and we could have taken care of it. But chose not to, play the political game and try to force a vote on that stuff. And it's unfortunate we had to come back. And again, we're going to be back in there in a few months, and some of the stuff can be taken care of. And I'm not saying taken care of by everything passing. We have to look at it in full context. We do have a comprehensive plan that's going to be coming out in the next month or so that the taxpayers are paying for through the Department of Economic Development. So it'll be interesting to see what that plan is. They won't be dealing directly with broadband, but as you know, I mean, you put it in full context. How do all these things fit together, and how does it make sense to frugally spend the taxpayers' money the best we can?
There was one argument that Will Toole made in his weekly radio address that this would not be fair. He said many of the ruralmost communities don't have the professional grant writers that would be necessary in order to write and apply and win the grants that would be available were this broadband bill to have cleared the legislature and then gone out and cleared voters. Jay Fidels of AARP Maine kind of scoffed at that and said, most every community has someone that can write a grant. Does Canaan have a grant writer?
No, I don't believe we actually have a specific grant writer, but that is definitely a struggle from rural Maine. You know, whether it's Canaan or Palmyra, St. Albans, Heartland, Ripley, or Cambridge that I represent, it is a struggle. I mean, you've got farmers and carpenters and plumbers and, you know, healthcare workers that are serving as selectmen or on different boards. They're not professionals. We do see a huge disparity between the bigger communities, say a Waterville or Augusta, that, you know, they have professionals that do those sorts of things. So Will is right on target, as he is most of the time.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.